How many? John Wesley lived in the 1700s. He started the Methodist Church. One time John Wesley had a dream while he was sleeping in the evening. And in that dream, he was sent to hell. And so while he was down there, he asked the question. He said, "Are there any Catholics in hell?" And the answer was yes. "Are there any Baptists in hell?" And the answer was yes. And very last, he finally said, very hesitantly, he said, "Are there any Methodists in hell?" And the answer was yes. So then he went up to heaven. He went up to heaven. This is the true story. And so as he got to the gate, he said, "Are there any Catholics in heaven?" And the answer was no. "Are there any Baptists in heaven?" And the answer was no. And finally he said, "Are there any Methodists in heaven?" And the answer was no. The answer was, "We're all Christians here." Yes. You see, that's the answer. And I want to tell you here, we want to all be Christians here. Yes. We want to be in the family of God. Yes. Some people are more in love with their denomination than they are Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus will not allow it. It's not going to happen. Jesus wants all the glory, the love, and the blessing from his people. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Let's go, as we looked at last time, Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Hope you brought your Bibles. You didn't share it with somebody if they didn't bring one. And we're going to quickly look at this. We talked about it last time. We talked about the four keys to staying full of the Lord. And we're going to talk about the first one today. Four keys to stay full of the Lord. Stay strong in the Lord. If you do these four things consistently, you will stay strong in the Lord. I guarantee you, people that walk away from God are not strong in these four things. Verse 21, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things." We talked about that last time. But the four things are in verse 21. On the negative side, people that do not know God, they do not glorify him as God. Number two, they're not thankful for what God has done. Number three, they fill their imagination with everything but of the Word of God. And then number four, their foolish heart was darkened. That's in verse 21. That's the negative side, but the positive side is what I want to talk about today. The four positive things for you and I, the four positive things for all Christians, are very simply these. Number one, glorify God. Number two, be thankful. Number three, recognize the power of your imagination and be very selective as what you put into your mind. Number four, bring the light or the Word of God into your heart. And we've talked about that. But I want to talk about number one today. And let's look at Mark 4, verse 15. And here the Lord tells you something that the minute God puts something in your heart, the enemy is going to show up. Mark 4 and verse 15. The enemy is going to show up and try to take it out of your heart quickly. And I want you to know that. And that's why we have to continuously do these four things, because it will not allow the enemy to take the Word of God out of your heart. Mark 4 and verse 15. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. The only way to keep the word of God in your heart is to be glorify God and be thankful. Amen. That, and I'm talking about on a daily basis.
That's right.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of things to be negative about. And if you read the paper or watch the news, you can be filled with that stuff. But I'm going to tell you that God's above all the things that's happening in the world.
Amen.
Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, God wants you to keep whatever he gives you. Some people, you know, in a service or wherever it is, somebody's praying for them and they receive healing and they get healed. And a day later, the symptoms come back and they start complaining. Guess what happens? They lose the healing. The Bible says that you receive the healing of God and you profess the healing of God regardless of what it looks like, feels like, tastes like, smells like, you see. And what you do, you just keep claiming, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And you are healed. And that's the issue. Now, God's trying to tell us how to keep what he teaches us, how to keep what he gives us, because we have an enemy that wants to take it away quickly. And he does at times if people let him. Now, he does this. Now, I'm going to tell you how the enemy takes it away. He does it by getting you to quit glorifying God. That's how he does it. That's how you go into depression. That's how you get out of the joy of the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the angels are always blessing Jesus Christ. It's a constant thing. It's going on forever. And what he will try to do, he'll cause something to happen in your life, get you all discouraged and all messed up. Now, I'm going to tell you that's what happens. When you have a blessing, when you have a healing, when you have a deliverance, whatever it is, I'm going to tell you this morning how to keep it. But what will happen if you quit glorifying the Lord, and a better word might be declaring him valuable in your life. I want to say that again. Declaring God valuable in your life. That is so important. What you value in your life will guide your life. Are you listening to me? What you value in your life will guide your life. What the most important thing in your life is will guide your life. If, you know, I've seen people, you know, they've come to the Lord, they've been all excited about God, and then a month later you don't see them. I can tell you right now, that God's not the most important thing in their life. Are you listening to me? Something else has taken place. Something else has become the most valuable in their life, and it will draw them away from the joy of the Lord. And they'll start saying, well, this just doesn't work, and that's not the issue at all. The issue is, God says we are to glorify, we are to value him. If you continue to glorify God in your life, you'll be strong in the Lord till Jesus Christ comes. I'll tell you that right now. We have to glorify him. We have to value him. And you won't lose the things of God. Now, what's it mean to glorify the Lord? Well, that word means to esteem, to prize, to reverence, to value above all other. You know, that's what we say in the marriage vows. You know, it's very interesting. Will you keep him or her to yourself as long as you both shall live? You see, it's a surrender to God on a daily basis. Surrender my life to you, Lord. I've got plans today, but if you want to change them, it's fine. I'm surrendering my life to you. You are the one that's worthy. You are the one to be blessed. You are the one to be praised. That's how you stay strong in the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We place value on everything. Some things are more important, if you want to put it that way, than other things are. in our life. You decide what's important in your life. Now, when God does something in your life, you place a certain value on it. If somebody else does something in your life, you place a certain value on it. And that's the way it is. Satan is always trying to compete for what you put value on in your life. It's a competition. Satan wants you to value him more than anything else in his life, and also what he stands for. That's the issue. And on the opposite side of the thing is the Lord. And we see that. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. We'll be running through the scriptures here this morning, because before I'm finished, you're going to understand this, or I'm going to lock the doors and not let you out, so you can decide. Yeah, all right. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. All right. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Now, that says one of the things you need to prize and value in your life is the word of God. That's why we teach it. That's why we go through scriptures. That's why we do what we do. You need to value the Word of God. If you value the Word of God, you're going to be under the teaching of the Word of God. You're going to read it in your home. The Word of God is going to have value in his life. You say, I'm a Christian? Christians put value on the Word of God, you see. And that's what we're saying. Some value it, some do not. Some say, God is speaking to me. And some say, that's just some thought you had in your mind. That wasn't God. You see, you take value on the Word of God. It's our choice. Now, from the Word of God, you realize that God loves you unconditionally. Amen. I know it's strange, because God's love's not like man's love. God never quits loving you. I didn't say you're all going to heaven. I just said God never quits loving you. I don't care what you do, what you don't do. God never quits loving you. But we are the ones that walk away from the love of God. We have to place value on the fact that God never quits loving you, and he will love you all the way into eternity if you turn to him. It's our choice. You see, well, you get all excited, you're at church on Sunday, and we're singing the songs and doing all the things, having a good time in the Lord, hallelujah, and that's a good thing. But then comes Monday. You go to work, somebody tells you you're no good, you're messed up, you can't do this, you can't do this. What are you going to value? The Word of God on Sunday, which says God loves you and will never let you go? Or are you going to value what some person says on Monday, you see? If you value what some man or woman says more than God, you're not going to be strong in the Lord. I'll just tell you right now, it's not going to happen. Now, you see, if you go to church on Sunday, you go Sunday afternoon, you get home, get in a big argument with somebody in the family. Well, you're going to value them more than Jesus, who loves you unconditionally and love you forever? Who's more important in your life? You see, we have to decide. We have to place value on everything in our life. What's the most important? What's the next important? What's so on, all the way down to the least important. And so what you value is what you will become. It will guide your life. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about that first key, and that is to glorify God in everything you do. In other words, that means place God more important than anybody else or anything in your life. That's it. You want to know how to be successful in Christ. You want to know how to get rewards in heaven. You want to know how to be blessed when you get there? It's very simply, glorify Jesus Christ. He's number one. What he says is more important than anybody else, you see. And that's the way it is. The enemy's going to compete for that value. The enemy's going to compete for what you believe, and so on. Now, you choose what you value, and you choose what you throw out. It's just that simple. Now, there's people here today that value something their family says more than what God says. Man, it's quiet in here. I said there's some people here today that value what their family says more than what God says. What you value will guide your life. Okay. All right. Now, you can watch the news and they say, oh my goodness, stock market's down again today. The whole thing's going to pot. I'm not sure if we're going to make it. All that kind of business. I got news. God's still in business. I got news. God is more important than the stock market. I have news. The stock market doesn't affect God in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't make a difference in heaven what the stock market's doing. Are you listening to me? God's above all of that. Who are you going to listen to? God said, I can bring prosperity in the middle of famine. Hallelujah. I can bless you when everybody else is losing their job. You see, it doesn't affect God. Who are you going to value in your life? That's going to guide your life. I mean, you can be down lower than a snake's belly if you listen to the news 24 hours a day. Well, that, you're putting more value on the news than you are the Word of God. You see, and you wonder why you're messed up and why you're down and why you're discouraged. There is no discouragement at the throne of God. Amen. You see, God doesn't get discouraged. We got this idea God's just like us. Oh, I hope that's not right. What a mess. Who wants to go to eternity like that? I tell you, not no way. Now, I'm going to tell you what God says. My God shall supply all my needs according to His glory in heaven. I said, my God will supply all of my needs according to His glory in heaven, to His supply in heaven. It doesn't depend on what man's doing. You see? I'm going to tell you, we got to get our eyes off of this earth and on to Jesus. You see, and that's going to make the difference. You're not going to get discouraged here in that kind of a situation. I'm going to tell you, 10,000 might fall at my side, but there's not going to one thing hurt me. Are you listening to me? Because that's what the Word of God says. With my time to go, let something hit me. I'm ready. But until... God says He's going to watch over me, hallelujah, because I'm one of His kids. I belong to Him. And same thing way with you. We're all kids of God. Now, whatever you value guides your life. If you value pornography, it's going to bring death. It's going to bring death. If you value Jesus Christ, it's going to bring life. You see, that's the difference in the way people think. You want to know, the Christians should think different than lost people. We should value different things than they do. Look at Luke 14, 26. Let's look at it quickly here. Luke 14 and verse 26. I'm going to tell you, I start thinking about Jesus, I get excited. Hallelujah. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me, now, I had somebody call me up long distance a couple of weeks ago because they read this verse and got all shook. I really did. Call me from another state. What does this mean? It surely doesn't mean what it says it means. It means exactly what it says it means. God means what he says and says what he means. I mean, my goodness, it says, put Jesus Christ over everybody and everything. That's what it means. It says, any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. How many people know that Jesus knows more than you do? You see? He said, and compared to our love to God, it'd be like hate for everybody else. It doesn't say don't love your family. It says in the Bible very clearly to honor your father and your mother. Does it not? God does not say one thing one place and something else another place. It just means very simply, according to your love for God, it would be like you hate everything else. It'd be so strong in your love for him, the other things are not as valuable as Christ is. That's exactly what that scripture means. Doesn't mean you're going to hate your father and mother, but he said compared to your love to God, okay, it would be like hate. Look in Matthew 10:37. Now, I'm not putting anybody down that questions that verse, because if you don't understand it, then, you know, you got to ask. That's absolutely correct. Yes.
In my notes, it says, in the last verse we had up there,
yeah,
hate means to love less. Our love for Jesus must be greater than our strongest human ties.
That's good. Hate means to love less.
It's the Wesleyan Bible, I think.
Yeah, good. Oh, there you go. Okay. Okay, Matthew 10 and verse 37. Here we go. He that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Did you see that? He that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, why shouldn't we give God more credit, more glory, more value than anybody else? Because he created your mother and father. He created you and me. He created everything you see. He's over the whole thing. And you're never going to get your life right unless you understand who the leader is, who the one we give the praise to, who we're supposed to be following, and where we're supposed to be going. Because if you give him the credit, he's going to show you the way to go. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Amen. Now, we should love our families. We should love our families more than others, of course. But the fact is, we're to love everybody. But the issue, we love Christ more. We value Christ more. What he says is more important than what anybody else says. Your wife, husband, anybody else. Nothing should ever compete with your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. That's what the Word of God says. I don't know. We just kind of fumble through life and we say, oh, yeah, I accepted Christ back so-and-so. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. And then we let the devil beat on us. Are you listening to me? That's what we do. We got to get out of that kind of thinking and start valuing Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you think if you show love for Jesus, he's going to take care of the enemy? Are you listening to me? You're not going to have to fight the battle. He's going to fight the battle for you if you love him in everything you do. I've had somebody said, well, you know, I've been here 20 years and I just can't find a church I like. Get saved. You know? I mean, my goodness. Who are you valuing more? What you feel like? Or who God is. You see what I'm saying? Somehow, I don't know. We in America, well, you know, we're getting so messed up, we won't even defend ourselves anymore. You know, there was a Russian guy named Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He said, when America gets to the place where they don't defend itself, they're through. And he was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And you know, I'll get off of that. But anyway, nothing should ever compete with your love for Christ.
Amen.
That's the issue. Nothing, no one, no place, no how, nothing. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. If your mate left, your husband or wife left you if you're married, or your closest friend left you, would you quit glorifying God? What's more important, God or your marriage? In fact, if you got it right with God, you're probably not going to have any problem in your marriage. Are you listening to me? Because you're going to love your mate with all your heart, well, you know, as your neighbors, yourself, and all of that stuff. But the thing is, let me tell you, I'm going to give you an example in the Bible. There's a guy in the Bible whose wife left him. His name was Moses. And God had called Moses out, and he said, Moses, I want you to go down in Egypt, and I want you to bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses stuttered and spit and carried on for a while, but then he decided he was going to do it. It was a pretty smart move. And so he says, okay, God. So he heads for Egypt, and his wife decided she didn't like the idea. Yeah. So she went up to him and says, you go down to Egypt, I'm gone. Well, I won't go into all the detail, but she was gone. And so here's what Moses did after she was gone. He went to Egypt. He brought the plagues on Egypt. They released the children of Israel. The Red Sea parted. And all the while, he was separated from his wife. You know why? He valued God more than his wife. And I'm here to tell you, if you value God more than your mate, your marriage is not going to have a problem. Because you're going to treat them right. Are you listening to me? You're going to love them. Because God's love for you shines through you to them. And it's going to be better than it ever was before. I'm going to tell you about a lady. It's a true story. This lady came up to a preacher that was at a crusade. And she came up to this preacher and she said, I want you to pray for my marriage. She said, I just got out of the hospital. I tried to kill myself. I cut myself and all of that stuff. And she said, I just got out of the hospital. This is my, I don't remember, it's the third or fourth marriage. She'd had several of them. She said, I want you to pray for my marriage. But she said, I'm not a Christian like you are, but will you pray for my marriage? You know what the preacher told her? Get saved. That's pretty good. Now, what he told her was very simply this. When you get a million years into eternity, what's going to be more important, your marriage or God? What's going to be more important, your marriage or God? What's the most valuable thing that you will have in eternity? Love for Jesus Christ. And his love for you. Absolutely correct. Your relationship with Jesus Christ should be more important than any other thing. So he told her that. He said, you know, are you telling me that if you died today, you would go to hell? And she said, yes. So he said, what's more important, eternity with Christ or this divorce or whatever's going on? And finally she thought about it. And she said, Christ is more important. So he led this lady to the Lord. I don't know what happened after that. But we have to get this thing in perspective. What is more important in your life? I'm not saying divorce anybody. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm just saying what is more important in your life? If America put its faith in Christ instead of itself, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in now. You see, and that's the issue. The people that founded this nation valued Christ more important than the nation. In fact, they said, if there's any time in the history of this country that we quit having Christians in office, we're done. Figure it out. You see. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Well, if you're still out there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm glad not everybody's gone. All right, Hebrews 12, verse 1. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just trying to tell you what God says in His Word. You know, we got to get over this thing. Who's more important, God or you? There you go. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what that says, very interesting, you know, the most shameful way to be punished back in Jesus' day was crucifixion. The reason was, they didn't put the cross out in some obscure place where nobody would see you. They put it right on the main highway. You were on that cross with no clothes whatsoever. You were beaten and stripped of everything. It was total shame. People not only watched you die, they watched you deteriorate over a period of time. They watched the birds eat your body. Jesus loved you so much that He was willing to despise that shame that we might come to Him. I'll tell you, we could sing and glorify Jesus Christ the rest of this day, and it wouldn't even get started. Somebody said, oh, you know, they sing for so long. Well, some churches, they sing for an hour, sometimes hour and a half, then they preach. What's more important in your life? A few hours on Sunday? That you could be doing something else, you see. God counted the shame as nothing. So because He had such love for the Father, He glorified the Father. The Father asked Him to do it. He said, yes, here I am, send me. That's the kind of life that's pleasing to God. That's the kind of life that doesn't get discouraged or messed up. That's the kind of life that keeps on going. Now, you can't glorify God and 15 other things at the same time. That's why we come together on Sunday. We spend some time just to concentrate on glorifying God, because the rest of the week gets so long and complicated, you understand. Look in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible even tells you how to think. I'm glad it does, because everybody else and everything else is trying to tell you how to think. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And there it is. Jesus counted shame as nothing to please the Father. It didn't make any difference what anybody else thought. It didn't make any difference what the religious leaders thought in Israel. And they thought he was crazy. It didn't make any difference what his family thought. They thought he was crazy. But he knew who was. He knew the one he valued. And he had his eye on the Father all the time. He went through all of these things that he went through. We place value on everything. You glorify what's important to you. Now, it's an interesting thing that Philippians in the Bible is a book of joy. It's a book of celebration. It's a book of joy, and it was written by Paul when he was in jail. And I'll tell you this, that jail wasn't half as nice as the county jail here in Rockford. It was an old, damp, dingy cave. Usually is what it was. No heat, no nothing. And he had started writing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength." He glorified God in jail. It didn't stop him glorifying the Lord. They couldn't do anything to stop him from glorifying the Lord. They stoned him to death once, and he come back to life glorifying the Lord. In fact, he was in prison. It was 12 o'clock at night, and they started singing songs. They started singing songs of the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Earthquake came, opened all the jail cells, and all the prisoners stayed right there because they wanted to hear about the Lord. That's what glorifying God does. People see what's important to you, you see. And that's interesting. They were singing at midnight. And, you know, as long as you're the center of your life, as long as you're glorifying yourself, you're never going to be happy in this life. You never are going to find happiness in this life because it's only found in one person, and his name is Jesus. That's right. I love that song. Sweetest name I know. And that's a fact. Yeah, you know, if the Lord seems distant... This last week, I had a few hours, and my wife's always bugging me to clean up the basement. And I had a bunch of stuff down there. Well, I need bugged because I just leave it set for the next 40 years. But anyway, we were going through stuff, and we were throwing this out and throwing that out. And every once in a while, she'd pick up something. Oh, no, don't let that go. I had value in that thing right there. It didn't. I had a box camera. That was probably, I don't know, the thing's probably maybe 80 years old. And she was just going to throw it in the garbage. I said, wait a minute. That was my mother's. Now, wait a minute. This is not good. We ought to be putting this thing under glass with a light on it, you know, and that kind of thing. Well, you know, we place value on things. There's some things we tossed and some things we kept, and I appreciated it afterwards, and I said, thank you for encouraging me to do this. And Paul absolutely counted his life as nothing. He said, I count my life as nothing so I can gain Jesus Christ. Oh, how would the church be if we had a few people with that attitude? Are you listening to me? Some people just play around with the things of God and can't understand why it isn't working for them. I'll tell you why. You have not put 100% value on Christ. You haven't put value on God. You're valuing what you can do more than what God can do. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be 10,000 years from now, it's only going to be important what God can do. Are you listening to me? That's a fact. None of this stuff's going to mean anything. The only thing that's going to mean anything is Jesus. We just do all this stuff, but it's not going to mean a thing. It won't mean anything to you 100 years from now. Nothing. Now our family's important, our friends are important, and all these things are important, but not as important as that one whose name is Jesus. You know, you could depend on your family if they died on the cross for you. You could depend on that friend if they had died on the cross for you. But there's only one. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. You know, I do that all the time. I say that all the time. I don't want to take any glory, any credit, or anything that God does. Not ever. Not one thing. Not one thing. We are to glorify his name. We are to place more value on Christ than anything else. More value than your home, your car, your bank account, or anything else, because it's all going to be gone. And you'll be standing before Christ. You're not going to stand before Christ with anything. There's only one thing I know of that you can take with you. Only one. And that's whoever you've led to Christ. Whoever you've led to Christ, you're going to take with you. Nothing else. You might as well be buried with everything else. I've heard of people being buried in their automobile. They loved it so much. That's going to be a fast train to hell. You know what I'm saying? It's going to burn up in the fire. It's going to be gone. There isn't anything you can see that's going to last. Not one thing you can see today, anywhere, going to last but God. Let's stand before the Lord.